Good day, everyone, and welcome back to the Not Safe for Work Photography podcast. There are thousands of models and photographers creating adult content using modern platforms and taking control of their own creative lives. Today, we're interviewing Anastasia May. Anastasia is a professional nude traveling model based in the DMV. How are you doing today, Anastasia?
I'm doing great, thanks. Excited to be on the podcast.
I am excited to be here, too. So, how long have you been a model?
So I've been modeling since March 2018, so about 3.5 years now.
When did you start? How old were you?
I was 21. Yeah, 21 at the time.
What made you start?
So my ex's sister dabbled a bit in modeling, and I saw her post some really great photos on social media. So I asked her to connect me with her photographer. His name is David Vickers, and David runs a small agency which specializes in helping models new to the industry learn and develop their portfolio skills. So he taught me the basics of posing, helped me start a professional portfolio, and I just really loved shooting because it really boosted my self-confidence and made me feel really empowered. So I just kept on shooting, and other photographers started reaching out to shoot more and more, and now here I am.
That's interesting. I didn't realize there were people. I've definitely seen some companies and some people that are into like helping people get into pageants and stuff, but I didn't know about the new to modeling. What kind of services? You mentioned they helped you with their portfolio. What did they do? Did they do kind of like test shoots with local photographers, or was it just him working with you, or how did that work?
So primarily it was portfolio building. So he gave me a lot of direction because I didn't really have the knowledge at the time how to pose. So he taught me like posing, taught me, you know, how to kind of work my expressions for the camera, how to work my angles. And then once I kind of developed a bigger portfolio, he helped me reach out to other photographers in the area that he knew and can vouch for. And yeah, so he basically helped me like start getting jobs.
Right. So what is your end goal for modeling and photography?
After I did that for a while, after he helped me for a while, I kind of took it from there myself. One of my big goals is definitely to get into Playboy or Penthouse magazine, just generally increase my social media following. I think my main goals, though, are mostly just to make money doing what I love while creating beautiful art.
That's what everybody wants to do.
Traveling the country. Yeah. And I also do photography. My brand is called Looking Glass Visuals, and my ultimate goal for that is to eventually start my own business, open my own studio for that.
What type of work would you do in your own studio? Would it be boudoir and stuff like this, or would it be more traditional wedding and portrait?
So I think my favorite thing to shoot is generally boudoir, but I'll shoot pretty much all genres. I do like doing portrait photography a lot, but mostly like boudoir and like creative nude work I like a lot. Ideally, I'd like to like have a studio and be able to rent it out to other people as well to make a little extra on the side.
You know, I've actually been looking at that myself recently. Yeah, I've actually, especially the last couple times I've been, because one of the things that I'm having a little bit of trouble with here is finding other places to shoot. Like we talked about this a little bit before. I moved here a while ago, but I haven't really been looking. I know there's some studios in the area, but there's not some of the cool studios I've heard from some other areas. I was talking with Fallen Angel photographer Dawn Brown the other week, and she was talking about this really cool studio up in Pennsylvania where they have a bunch of rooms set up as like actual rooms rather than just backdrop lights. So
That's cool. Yeah, yeah,
that'd be really interesting to run a studio like that where you can rent out all the stuff. Be very cool. Yeah, don't mind Oliver in the background. For those of you that are not watching the video, there's a small dog that heard something outside, and now he's very upset.
Like, I just want to be in the podcast.
All right, so at this point in time, is this your full-time job, or is it supplemental?
So at the moment, it's my full-time job. I have been applying to some part-time jobs as well, though, because income can be pretty unpredictable.
Yeah, I can imagine. You'll have weeks where you work over and over again, and then other weeks where there's nothing, especially with COVID. How's that been for your income? You don't have to give me numbers. just.
So COVID hasn't impacted me too much, actually. It was only that, like, the first April that everyone started realizing and everything started shutting down. That was the only month where I didn't really get any business. And after that, I think there were just a lot of like bored creatives who were stuck in their house and were kind of like, I don't care that much. So I ended up doing a lot of home studio shoots and of course keeping like a distance and like wearing masks when we're not shooting. But yeah, overall it hasn't impacted my business too much. I did a lot more outdoor shoots for a while.
That makes sense. Yeah, especially after we figured out that it didn't really transmit outdoors. I imagine that didn't really become an issue. Sure, you mentioned that your favorite genre to shoot was probably boudoir, but what about modeling for?
I think this is kind of a tough one, and one I feel like I can never give a proper answer for, because I really, really love all genres, and I like to go above and beyond to make sure my public portfolio is extremely diverse and that it contains a lot of different genres. That's often the compliment I get the most from photographers. You have a very diverse portfolio, you can shoot any genre, but probably the one I'm most comfortable with is boudoir, because that's what I get hired for most frequently, so I have like the most practice with it. And I guess some of my other favorite shoots have involved really artistic elements. So things like underwater modeling, modeling with smoke bombs and like rainbow holy powder, body paint shoots, modeling with animals like snakes and wolves. So that's like kind of above and beyond creative things I really like.
I used to have a boa constrictor, but my wife made me get rid of him.
Oh, no.
So it was like 10 feet long, and she was scared because he could eat the cats. Oh. It was weird. So weird. I don't understand why she wasn't comfortable. Yeah, and of course, the big thing is that, frankly, boudoir is probably what pays the bills.
Yeah.
You probably don't get much call for boudoir portrait.
Yeah. I am really excited, though, when people want to shoot fashion, because it rarely happens. So
yeah, I saw the Instagram post where someone was like, more people need to talk to Anastasia May about shooting fashion. Was that at your encouragement?
Yeah, because I was telling him, like, people rarely hire me for fashion because I'm more curvy. I guess I have a more stereotypical boudoir body. So that's what I get hired for most frequently. But I do really enjoy doing fashion and, like, modeling different kind of, like, Vogue-y looks. I always find that really fun.
Gotcha. So this is a personal one for me since I'm in the area. Where do you normally shoot in the DC area? Is it typically home venues? Is it hotels? Is it studios? Like, where normally are you brought in to shoot?
It is some of all of that. so, like, I've shot in a lot of different places in DC, in addition to, like, traveling a lot of other states. But I'd say my favorite studio in the area is probably Union 206. It's in Alexandria, Virginia. It has, like, three big studio rooms. It has a lot of props, a lot of, like, furniture. The staff is all really friendly. So I do really enjoy shooting there. I've done a lot of outdoor shoots, whether like right in the city or in like kind of rarely visited hiking trails. I've shot in a lot of home studios and other like various small public studios and the occasional hotel shoot. So it's really some of all of that.
Gotcha. Have you ever done Airbnbs?
Yeah, I have a few times.
Gotcha. Yeah, I know a lot
of
those have
a little better because they have more of like a personal feel than just like a generic hotel room has. So yeah. I shot in one that had like a jacuzzi, it had a pool table, just had some really cool stuff. We could do a little extra with the photos.
Yeah, because they're trying to sell something different than the hotels, and the hotels are super impersonal.
Exactly. Super.
Although that works for certain types of shoots if it calls for impersonal. Mm-hmm. Especially some fetish stuff. Fetish stuff seems to really like hotels because...
Yeah, I work with this one guy and he rents out this place to use as a... It's kind of like a fetish vibe. I think a lot of swingers end up using
Is it
that.
Crucible?
I'm not sure what it's called, actually. I would have to double check with him. But it has like the red room like they had in 50 Shades. And it has like the chains hanging from the wall and all those kind of instruments of torture. So... I've shot a few times there, which has been fun.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to see. I saw there's like a fetish hotel in Germany that I found on Instagram where each room is devoted to a different fetish.
That's cool.
And you can like pick and choose which one you rent to go. And it's meant more for couples, but it'd be really cool for photography too. Like that'd be kind of a cool thing too.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, I know there's the Crucible in DC, which does like swinger nights on Fridays, and then they've got dungeon nights. But I don't know if they rent out for photographers, because I know they've got stuff like Friday and Saturday night, but I don't know what they have the rest of the week. They might be willing to rent out to photographers the rest of the week.
I'm not sure. I've been wanting to get more into the fetish scene in DC. Mm-hmm. I know they have like big fetish like ballroom event kind of things. I've never been to, but that's been on my bucket list to go to some of those.
Do you maintain a profile on FetLife as well?
I do.
but not much is on there, I guess.
I don't get a lot of... I really created it so that I could get business from photographers there. like, you know, fetish shoots and stuff. But really, it's just a bunch of horny guys reaching out to me wanting to hook up. So I haven't had much luck with it.
I was talking this last weekend with a rigger that I was working with, who shall remain nameless. But he was talking about, he has a lot of trouble getting, because he just wants to tie people up. And he keeps getting people that are like, let's tie me up and then let's fuck. And he's like, that's not exactly what I'm looking for here. Here's what it is. So let's talk a little bit of business. We talked about it. We've got a couple things we want to talk about here. We want to talk about screening photographers. We want to talk about new models. We want to talk about some social media maybe, and then maybe some payment stuff if we get to it. I don't know if we'll have time. We'll try. Let's actually use me as an example. So we shot right before this podcast. And if you're listening, eventually those photos will hopefully be available via OnlyFans, but I don't know when that's going to go up. That's going to go up when I've got like 5 or 6 sets to put up, not just one. But keep an eye out for it. So how did you screen me when I reached out to you over Instagram?
I go through the same process pretty much with every photographer. First, I look at their portfolios. If they don't have one, I ask if they can provide me with one. If they don't want to, that's definitely a red flag.
How often does that happen? How often do photographers tell you that they don't have a portfolio?
Fairly frequently. Not like all the time, but I get a lot of people that are like, oh, I'm brand new. I've never shot anyone before, but I want to shoot you. And often that's a lot of like guys with cameras. That's the term we use. And it's basically just someone who wants to have a good time watching a nude lady, and they don't really have any photography skills. Occasionally I'm okay with that if they let me bring an escort with me, and if they're respectful, if they pay me. But in general, if you don't have a portfolio or not willing to show me anything, I'm usually like, maybe get some more experience first.
So out of curiosity, if somebody's legitimately new and they're trying not to, I mean, frankly, a lot of us started at the guy with camera stage, and they're legitimately want to become better, but they don't have a portfolio. Would you encourage them to like go to an event or something to build that portfolio? Or would you rather they had a portfolio of mediocre stuff that maybe they weren't real proud about showing, but they had something?
I'm not sure. Even if they had a little something, I would be more okay with that, because especially if they tag the models, even if their photos are kind of like mediocre, but they do tag their models.
They've worked with somebody before, right?
And yeah, that lets me reach out to the models and ask about like how their experience was with this guy. Because that's really my primary concern. I'm not really concerned about getting back bad photos. I'm concerned about my safety.
Right.
So my big thing is like, you should be tagging your models if you are posting a portfolio. And if you don't tag them, give me references. And if you don't give me references, that's another big red flag.
Yeah, the references one is kind of weird, I know. I don't know that before I started talking with a lot of models and find out it was a super common thing, I don't know how comfortable I initially would have been about being like, yeah, here's the contact information of somebody that, to you, whom I don't really know. But it's good to know that it's a pretty common thing, and most models expect it. Do you get calls from other models for references frequently? Or I guess texts or Instagram chats?
Yeah, usually they'll message me over Instagram and ask if I've worked with so-and-so and how my experience was, and I'll let them know that happened just like a couple days ago. It happens pretty frequently, and I will try to message like 3 to 4 of the models that someone's worked with, just so I get like a kind of well-rounded view of how this person works. So if I receive mostly positive reviews, of course I'll work with them. If not, I'll find an excuse to decline. A few times, like, I've asked for references and people have been super obnoxious about it. Like really? You're going to ask me for references? Like, why? Like, you don't trust me and this and that? And
yes,
like,
exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you can't show me that some people can vouch for you, then I don't want to work with you. But yeah, if they say no escorts allowed, that's a big red flag for me too. Even if I don't plan on bringing an escort, I like to know that they would be welcome, because if you're not letting a model bring anyone with her to ensure her safety, then that's kind of sketch.
Yeah, definitely. If the shoot that they propose is close to your boundaries, how do you determine whether or not to accept the work? And we haven't really talked about your boundaries, but whatever they are, if it was close.
So I'm pretty clear on my boundaries already, so that decision isn't usually too difficult for me. But if I am questioning, I usually just try and picture myself during and right after the shoot and kind of imagine how pushing those boundaries would make me feel.
Mm.
And if I'm thinking it's going to make me feel kind of bad about myself, then I'm just going to say no. Doesn't gotcha. Matter if I'm getting extra money for it. Like, my own well-being is my priority.
Yep. All right. Does the photographer you're working with help determine your boundaries? I know you've got kind of your own hard and fast boundaries, but like, does the boundary shift based on who you're working with?
Not so much. I mean, maybe if I'm working with someone that I've like known for a long time that I really trust, like I might be willing to do a little bit more risque photos, but like my hard limit is I don't do like spread leg shots. I won't really do that with anyone, and it's not like a matter of trust or not. I mean, it would be for like new people, but like I just do that for like me personally. It's just not my thing. So really, they don't change that much for different people.
Gotcha. That makes sense. No, if your boundary's hard and set and you're comfortable up to that boundary, it probably wouldn't. Mm-hmm. So. What happens if you see a photographer you'd like to approach? Do you do any different screening, or you kind of run through the same steps if you're the one approaching the photographer versus they approaching you?
I guess I kind of run through the same steps. I always look to see who they've worked with. And yeah, I'll still like contact the models, check if they're okay.
Yeah, pretty much the same steps.
What can new models do to ensure their safety?
Okay, I have a lot on this. So, I mean, I'm going to reiterate again, always get multiple references for photographers. Also, go with your gut instinct. If something feels wrong, even if you can't put your finger on exactly what it is, your instincts are most likely right. I've learned that after like a few times of being like, wow, I should have trusted my gut on that one. And I would say always try to bring an escort with you to shoots to ensure your safety. And even if that's not feasible for you, ask the photographer whether they're okay with you bringing an escort, even if you're not planning on bringing one. If they say no, I would rethink shooting with them. And if you're shooting without an escort, just make sure someone close to you knows where you're shooting. So this is what I do most frequently, because normally I can't bring escorts with me to shoots, given how often and like frequently I shoot. So I always let someone know where I am. When I get there, I will give them an update, like in the middle of the shoot, tell them how it's going. And text them when I leave. So this ensures that like if anything bad happens to you, you'll have someone who knows how to find you. And I also recommend using this app. It's called Life 360. And it allows people in your group to see where you're located at any time. And it also allows you to send an SOS, which alerts the member of your group and the police if you're in trouble. And it's just like a one button click, so it's pretty easy.
Is it on your lock screen, like right on the front?
No, I think it's directly in the app.
Gotcha. All right, so you have to do a couple clicks, but like, yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, you're right.
No, it'd be bad if it was on the lock screen, because then you could turn it on in your pocket or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any others? I'm sorry, I felt like I interrupted you there.
I mean, that's the main thing. Like, always do your research, vet your photographers, try to bring escorts if you can. If you can't, just, you know, let people know where you are. Those are really the main things for me.
Gotcha. All right. What should new photographers do to make sure that the models feel and are safe?
I mean, I think they should provide them with multiple references and not be kind of like all, oh, what, why would I do that? Like, yeah, I've had a lot of people be like that. Yeah, just encouraging the model to bring someone if it makes them feel safer. I mean, often, I don't follow this every time, but ideally if it's like the first time you're shooting, especially if you don't get references from other people that you know, I think it's kind of beneficial if they ask you if you can shoot in a public space or public studio. I mean, I'm not as big on that one, I guess. Like with us, we're not really shooting in public, but that's because
you can open the windows like, and it'll practically
yeah. I got like several references and they were like, oh yeah, he's great. Uh-oh. He's super cool. Uh-oh. So
several I didn't think I shot with that many people.
but yeah, often that could be a good idea, especially if you are feeling like maybe a little off about the guy, just make sure it's like in a public space. And I would say just they should give a detailed outline of what they would like to shoot, like the kinds of poses, angles, genres, and just make sure you're okay with that.
Speaking of that, actually, how was my description when we started off? Felt like it was a little light, but
Yeah, I mean, I think it was pretty good. Mm-hmm. It was pretty mm-hmm. clear and concise.
I gave you, what, three things that we were going to do. I know I threw you a couple of pictures off my mood board. It's not really a mood board.
And
it's
I really appreciate that, too, when photographers send, like, pictures of ideas that they're mm-hmm. trying to recreate.
Yeah. We didn't have any ideas for the stairs, I don't think. Mm-hmm. The only idea that the only picture I had for that was against a bookcase, and mm-hmm. my bookcase is filled with crap. I don't have like a fancy bookcase with like leather bound books.
Mm-hmm. We still made it work though.
Yeah. I should actually start hitting up like estate sales and like finding like old collections of books that I'll never read. And it'll look really great behind me on my camera for work.
That would be cool. Or just like a backdrop of like a library.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of new photographers tend to be very shy and have trouble articulating what they really want to shoot, especially new photographers that want to shoot adult work. Do you have any advice for those photographers on saying what they really want? And it might be helpful to give some examples of the kind of things that you see in your DMs to show like, you know, oh, these are, I see this kind of stuff all the time.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, I feel like if you're having trouble articulating what you'd like to shoot, sending models those example images and mood boards mm-hmm. Helps a lot. Like if they're just like, oh, I want to do a nude shoot. Great. Like what kind of poses are you looking for? What kind of style? And if they have trouble explaining that, just, you know, send a few pictures that come close to the idea you're trying to capture, I guess. Yeah, I think so.
Gotcha. Just do you have any examples of shoot offers you've gotten in your DMs, whether ones you've accepted or ones you haven't accepted?
Like what kinds of shoot offers?
I'm just... I guess what I'm looking for here is I'm looking for some normalization. Like a new photographer, when they're thinking about, oh, I want to shoot and I want to shoot erotic work and I want to do this and I want to do that. But then they get to the DM stage and they start to type. And I'm basing this off personal experience. And they get to type and they're like, it's going to, I don't know if I want to type that. Like, I don't know. And especially with the way that like Instagram and everything is set up where everything is censored and you mm-hmm. can't do any adult work. It's very difficult to tell what models do and don't do sometimes. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, a lot of them are explicit in their boundaries on their, you know, portfolio page or whatever, but a lot of them aren't. Mm-hmm. And I've talked to several people in the past that have, like, where the photographer has been like, oh, you know, she didn't have any of this stuff, but I just asked her and she was totally open to it. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's what that's kind of a weird situation for the photographer to be in. Cause on one hand, he has something that he wants to shoot, but on the other hand, he doesn't want to anger or burn bridges with mm-hmm. a model by sending something where she's like, what the hell? Mm-hmm. F you. Like, just any thoughts around that?
Yeah. I mean, I'd say a general message I get from most photographers is like, hey, I'm interested in hiring you for this genre. I'm looking to capture this and this. Like, are you interested? And if so, can you give me your rates? And like, normally I don't get offended if they ask me to do something that I don't do, unless they ask it in a really rude way. Like, I don't do erotic shoots, but if they're like, okay, I'm interested in hiring you for an erotic shoot, what are your rates? And are you interested? I'm like, I don't do erotic, but if you're interested, I will do nude, and I'll give them my rates for that. So yeah, normally it's just like kind of that generic. I want you to want to hire.
So stick to high level. Probably don't want to do, at least not in the first message, explicit descriptions. Like, I want to picture you doing this, and you're like.
Yeah, one of the weird ones I got though was like this one guy. He was reaching out to me as the model, but he was like, "I want you to come to the shoot and take pictures of me in women's clothing."
Someone's got a fetish.
Yeah.
I mean, that's so cool. But
yeah, in that case, I was like, I mean, I didn't get like mad or offended, really. I was kind of just like, that's a little weird. No one's ever asked me that before. And I just kind of politely decline. Gotcha. But in most cases, unless you're like really rude to me, I'm not going to like get offended.
All right. So yeah, so stay high level to start with, at least. Mm-hmm. Use pictures to describe what you're not comfortable describing in words. Mm-hmm. Take your polite declines and don't be explicit. Don't be rude. All right. Yeah. Good deal. Do you keep track of the photographers that you work with?
I do. I have like a book where I keep track of all my finances, like the date I shot, who I shot it with, and how much I earned. So I keep track of them that way. And a lot of times some people from like way out of state will ask, oh, do you ever come here? And I'll be like, I don't normally come there, but I'll keep you in mind if I ever do. And in that case, so I don't forget them, I have like a section in the back of that same book where I write down anyone who's interested in shooting and paying my normal rates and like where they're located.
And who tried to haggle. And
yeah, a lot of people try and haggle.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of get it. Being a photographer, like all this stuff's expensive. And we talked about it. Like I have a budget and my budget is shooting with one model a month. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to shoot more, but that's I totally understand. Models need to get paid too. So mm-hmm. it's yeah, you know?
Yep.
So speaking on that, actually, since you talked about people and touring, so you do tour. How often do you tour?
So I go to New Jersey every month for a few days. And that's really just because I get a ton of business there every month. For some reason, I get more business there than in other states. So I do make that kind of like a staple place to tour. And I also tour Ohio, like Ohio and Pittsburgh every 2 to 3 months. I used to live in Ohio, so I made a lot of connections there. I have a lot of friends I can stay with. I do tend to do that every few months. Every once in a while, I'll just throw in a new state in there if I can find enough shoots to make it worth it. So I've done like Texas, North Carolina, but like usually I just do like 1 to 2 big out-of-state trips a month.
Interesting. For how long? Like 2 weeks out of the month you're out of state, or?
Not even that long. Jersey, it ranges anywhere from like 2 to 4 days usually, I think. And Ohio is usually like, I would say like 3 to 5 maybe.
Gotcha. All right. How do you save money while you're there? Do you tend to stay with photographers? Do you go with other models? Do you stay somewhere super cheap?
So in Jersey, I've shot a lot with these people in this one studio, so much so that they've basically become family at this point. Mm-hmm. So they always let me stay at the studio when I'm there, just overnight. So that helps out a lot with expenses. And I also have a few friends there I can stay with if I want. Ohio, I always make sure to stay with friends, usually just friends I've made from when I was living there. Actually, one of them is the photographer who like first got me started, so he lets me crash on his couch. And sometimes photographers will like pay for a hotel for me to do hotel shoots and then let me keep it overnight.
That makes sense, yeah.
So that helps a lot too.
It's about an hour or so of your hourly or so. Mm-hmm. Is it usually just a straight trade in that case, or is it that plus cash, or?
I think a few times they've been like, well, can I pay you this much less if you can keep the room? And sometimes I'll be like, yeah, okay, that's fair. And sometimes they just offer it in addition because they would be paying for it anyway.
Gotcha. You know, thinking about that, I actually, all right, so this is, I travel for work sometimes, mm-hmm. and sometimes I don't hit, you know, gold or platinum status in the hotel stuff. So now I'm like, oh man, what if I got the model 2 nights at the hotel room, but it was in my name and that counted towards my status?
I once asked a photographer, since he had gotten a hotel room for us to shoot in and he wasn't planning on staying there, I was like, can I stay at it overnight? But he was like, oh, but it's in my name. And like, I don't know what you're going to do to the room.
I understand that. Like, if you don't know the person, you don't know like whether they're a party or not. Like, I could see where that could be. The next morning, they're like, and here's the damages for the crazy party you had last night.
You're like,
yeah, I don't know. I could see doing that for somebody that I knew.
Mm-hmm.
Probably would not do that for somebody I was working with the first time.
Right. That makes sense.
All right. How do you advertise when you're going on a shoot? Do you open up like a Model Mayhem thing? Do you search for photographers in the area? Do you post on social media? What's up?
So I guess first I'll reach back out to the people who I've worked with in that area before, who like pay me and will shoot with me whenever I'm in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I guess my like touring regulars. So I'll reach back out to them first, and then I'll advertise on like any post I make on Instagram, and I'll advertise on my story. So I'm going to be in town on these dates. DM me for rates and scheduling, and I'll get some extra business that way. And yeah, sometimes I do the Model Mayhem too, where I'll put out a travel notice.
Are those very successful? I've seen them.
Yeah, they can be. I really get more business from Instagram than Model Mayhem, but I do get a few gigs for Model Mayhem as well.
Yeah, I have not shot with. Well, I guess I met Dawn via Instagram, but she replied to one of my posts asking about people that wanted to be on the podcast. But yeah, I've never shot with a model that I strictly met over Instagram. Like, even though I messaged you over Instagram, I still had seen your Model Mayhem because you were local in the area. And
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually get most of my business from Instagram.
It's really interesting because I look up like the hashtag DMV models and stuff, and I just find, again, it's so impossible to tell if they do the type of work that I want to do. And there's just this long list of people that list themselves as models. And like, it's just, you know, random snapshots like that their friends took. And I'm like,
Yeah. It's like, are you really?
Yeah. Everybody wants to be. I get it.
You could also like search the hashtag DMV photographers and, you know, look at who they shoot with and who they tag and see if they might be more worth your time.
Yeah. All right. How about for new models that are thinking about doing a tour where they don't have friends in a place necessarily? Do you have any thoughts on how they could get started touring and start building those regular touring regulars?
I mean, I guess they would have to kind of invest in it for the first couple times, maybe to like develop those relationships. Maybe try and like do a few shoots with other models in the area because, I mean, that could potentially lead to like a friendship. You could potentially, you know, stay with them if you become friends. I mean, really the first few times you go on tour and you don't know anyone there, you're probably going to be paying for some hotel rooms, or you could, you know, strike a deal with the photographer. If you're shooting in a hotel room, you know, discount it so you can stay there.
Yeah.
Yeah, things like that.
What kind of a social media presence do you maintain?
So I have a big Instagram presence. I try and post most days. That is where I get most of my business. Aside from that, I have a Twitter. I've gotten a few shoots here and there from Twitter. Not a ton, but a few. Let me see.
That really surprises me, actually. Like, I know Instagram was started as a photographer's platform, but literally everybody I talk to is all full of, you know, vile and bitterness over what they do for, you know, nude and adult workers. And Twitter is so much more friendly to them, but everybody loves Instagram so much more than Twitter. I don't get it. I'm definitely getting more, I get a lot more views on Instagram whenever I post stuff, but I'm getting a lot more interaction on Twitter.
Okay.
Personally.
See, I like Instagram, I guess, in terms of posting my portfolio because you can see it all in like one place. And I feel like it's a little harder with Twitter to see like all of your photos in one space.
No, I can tell, like that long stream of stuff interspersed with your text and
And yeah, I also have an OnlyFans. I guess that counts as social media, right? Kind of.
I guess.
But yeah, so I mean, really, Instagram's main one. Model Mayhem is probably second. Twitter is probably third. Occasionally, I'll find things on Facebook groups, but I've kind of noticed more so it's like based on TFP shoots and not as many people seem to advertise that way.
I wonder why. I know I've spoken with somebody else that has a private Facebook group for herself and her fans, and she's definitely saying Facebook is way harder on nudity and stuff than the other ones. So
yeah, I mean, Facebook, and I think Facebook owns Instagram too now, right? Yeah. So that's when Instagram's policy started getting even more strict. So they're both not super great toward nude creatives.
Gotcha. All right. So when you rank them, is Instagram as number one and Model Mayhem as number two? Was that in terms of the business you got, or is that in terms of your favorite?
That's in terms of the business I get. Gotcha. But like, I mean, also my favorite too. I do get a lot more from Instagram, but I also find Instagram to be just easier to post on. Mm-hmm. Model Mayhem doesn't really have an app for most phones, so it's just kind of more difficult navigating the site if you're using your phone. And I don't think I can upload photos on my phone. I think I always have to do it on my computer, which just makes me want to update it a little less frequently.
And I think if I remember correctly, maybe it's just me, but I was looking over a model before when I reached out to you earlier this week. I was looking through Model Mayhem, looking for people in the area, because again, it allows you to select by nude and the type of work they do, so it allows you to narrow it down pretty nicely, which is what I like. I noticed that a lot of people hadn't been checking Model Mayhem regularly. There were a lot of people. There was like week, 2 weeks, a month. So
yeah, and like a lot of people, when I tell them I use Model Mayhem, they'll be like, oh, that's still a thing, like that's still people are still using that. So I think it was really big several years ago, and I think it just started having some issues and people stopped using it as much.
Yeah. I don't know. It still really fills a niche though. Like it
does.
It is the easiest way for me to find people within 25 miles that do nude work.
Mm-hmm.
Instagram, like, again, searching those hashtags, I get people from Maryland, I get people from all, and if I search Virginia hashtags, like, I get people from all over Virginia. Mm-hmm. Instagram drives me nuts trying to find models. Like, there's a lot of beautiful pictures on there, there's a lot of wonderful photographers and wonderful models on there, but telling if they're close to me is very mm-hmm. hard. Interesting. All right. How do you develop your social media following? You mentioned one thing, posting daily the other day, mm-hmm. or posting daily earlier.
Yeah. I mean, really, that's the main thing for me is just to like keep up with my posts. And like, I tend not to post selfies. I don't really post casual pictures that my friends take of me out and about. I make sure I post very professional photos that I'd be proud to show in my portfolio.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of where maybe some new models falter with their social media presence is like they're posting these, like, some of these great professional photos interspersed with like duck face selfies, and people are like, are you that professional though?
Yeah. And I can imagine too, again, back to the new photographer thing where all you've got is a bunch of mediocre shots that you kind of hate, but you're like, these are the best things I have. Mm-hmm. Again, is it better to just post those and then delete them later as you improve your stuff? Like, do you curate your Instagram, or like once it's there, it's there?
For the most part, once it's there, I'm there. Every once in a while, I'll kind of look back and be like, oh, that photo didn't get as much love as I thought. Or like, I don't know, if it just doesn't get as much positive feedback, sometimes I'll take it down, but for the most part, they stay up there. So yeah, really just making sure what you're posting is really quality. Also just advertising on each of your social media platforms for your other social media platforms helps a lot. And using just the different features within those apps, like, you know, not just posting, but also sharing stories and doing live streams and like all those little extra features.
Gotcha. Yeah, I haven't done any of that. I'm not good. I don't want to spend the time on social. We were talking with Leticia Bufardrope a while ago. She was talking about like the first hour after you post it is the most important. You got to like be there ready to respond because it gets it more likes and like boosts it. And just there's all kinds of crazy hoops to jump through for social media. I'm just like, I don't care.
Yeah, I have noticed if I post in the morning, it gets a lot more likes.
I haven't figured that out. I've been posting like I had a podcast come out this morning, and I was debating. I haven't figured out the right time to post it because I've seen the posts get, you know, anywhere from like 30 to like hundreds of views and interactions, and I can't tell. I haven't sat down and like figured out what time did I post it. But so morning is better.
Yeah, that's interesting. Normally, when I post around like 8 or 9, I get a lot of likes, and I think that's. Mm. Maybe partly because people are just waking up and like, what do they do when they first wake up? They check their phones. Or like right before they go into work, they like check their socials before they have to put their phone away. And I guess maybe it's the same for like evening, kind of maybe like.
That's what I thought. Right, that's what I thought as I posted in the evening a couple times. But the post in the evening always got like 20 to 40 interactions. And I was like,
yeah, really it's the morning ones that work the best for me for some reason.
Interesting. Yeah, I had expected that everybody would be at work and wouldn't be checking their phone, but I guess they're bored. All right. Do you have any interesting interactions with fans from social media, good or bad?
I mean, I don't really have any super big stories to share about fans. I mean, I haven't had anything super interesting happen with fans. They'll message me, say things like, I love your work, or like ask for custom videos or stuff. But I mean, that's mostly the extent. I mean, I'll have like random people message me kind of like weird dirty things, like I'll have like dick pics sent to my inbox.
Not just the internet though, like
yeah that's pretty much just
I think
the internet.
That's called being a woman on the internet.
I did have one person message me and they were like, I will pay you $10,000 for a sex.
just one sex.
And in that case, I don't even respond. I just ignore it and block them.
There's a website where a guy does that. He messages models and pretends to be a rich dude from some Middle Eastern country. Mm-hmm. And like in broken English, he asks for sex. And he's like, yeah, and I'll pay to fly you first class via Qatar Airways and stuff like that. And then he posts their responses on you know, Instagram or whatever, or wherever you post it, to embarrass, and it's,
oh man.
Yeah.
And I hope, like, if most people hear that, like, I will, like, pay to fly you here, especially if you don't, like, have that much experience too. Like, people should really recognize that as a scam. And that, like, that was something else I wanted to talk about for, like, new models. Is there's a ton of modeling scams. I get them in my inbox every single day.
Really?
And usually they start out by, like, saying, we're looking for both male and female models, no experience necessary. And at that point, that's the first red flag. Why are you, like, messaging me if I don't have experience, or you're not looking for experience? Mm-hmm. They'll promise something like $2,000 to $3,000 for a non-nude shoot, which is, like, no one pays that kind of money. And what else? And they'll be like, often they'll, like, want you to pitch in money for the shoot beforehand, and then they'll be like, we'll pay you that plus extra. And that's usually their scam.
Yeah.
But often, like, they also are like, we'll pay to fly you here. And in those cases, like, I ran into a few of those. Like, we'll fly you to New York. It ends up being a human trafficking scam. So I'm like, I'm hoping most people are smart enough to realize if someone's asking them to come to a different country, like, I'll fly you here. If you can't get references on the guy, like, it's not a good sign.
That's interesting. Because, you know, you hear a lot of talk about human trafficking, but that's something that, as far as I know, I've never seen. Like, how do you...
So there was this big group. They keep changing their names, but when they contacted me, they were ambush models. And then they were like something like Live in the Moment, New York, or something like that. But, their thing is they always message models that are just starting out, new to the industry, who are kind of naive. And they'll be like, first they'll ask them to send a bunch of nude pictures so we can, like, see what you really look like. Like, no, they're selling those photos to other people. And then they'll be like, okay, we'll pay to fly you out. We're going to pay you like $1,000 for this shoot. You're going to be modeling diamonds and rubies and, like, all these jewels.
And you get to keep them at the end.
Yeah, totally. So, yeah, I've gotten that scam a few times. And a lot of my friends, like, they've contacted a lot of my friends too. And that was a big one too, because I feel like people have contacted the FBI multiple times about them. Hmm. And, like, one person heard something weird from the person who initially reached out to them that made them think that she was a victim of human trafficking, something like, oh, they'd kill me if I found out, or if they found out the whatever. So yeah, there are a lot of those dangerous scams out there. So be aware.
Yeah. The scams that target photographers are all around money.
Oh yeah. Of course. But yeah, I get them in my inbox every day. They always start out with, like, we are, like, it's something weird. Like, we are amped up for both male and female models. Some weird starting line like that doesn't sound like it's would be said in normal English.
Right.
So.
Huh. All right. Well, if anybody ever wants to human traffic me, the answer is no. All right. Well, no, that's good, because that's never come up before. So that is new and interesting. Awesome. And we're going to follow that up with something a little lighter. So there's an age-old debate in modeling about single rate versus multiple rates for types of content. Mm-hmm. So I think I know where you fall in that, because you charge multiple rates.
Yeah.
Why? What made you decide to do that versus the single rate?
Mm-hmm. I mean, really, I think it's just a matter of exposure. For me, a nude model, it's exposing yourself more, making yourself more vulnerable. Plus, nude work is, in general, it's in higher demand. So I would say you should charge more for that. So I charge more for boudoir than I do fashion, more for nude than I would boudoir, and sometimes more for fetish than I would nude. So it's just like increasing levels of, I guess, explicitness.
Yeah. I assume your boudoir is lingerie.
Yeah.
Then. All right. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah. That's the way I kind of feel about the single rate is, well, if your time is your time, which does make sense to me, but then you have to charge a really high rate, and then people that want to do, like, portraiture stuff are not going to pay it, because they're going to be like, oh, you're charging $125 an hour, you're charging $150 an hour. I can't swing that for just portraits, like, because generally speaking, you're not making money off portraits.
Yeah. And, like, I will make an exception sometimes if it's like, we want to hire you for a half a day or a full day. Mm-hmm. If they're booking me for a long time, in that case, I'll be more willing to be like, okay, well, why don't we do a flat rate of this, so they don't have to be worried about, like, oh, wait, was that the end of the hour already? Am I starting a new
one? It's time for you to go. Get out.
Yeah. So, like, in the case where you're shooting for a really long time with someone, it could be easier to do just one rate that kind of encompasses all your genres. But if it's just, like, 2-3 hours, like, I tend to charge separately.
And also, I think it makes sense, too, when you reach a certain level of notoriety. Mm-hmm. Like, if you've been in Playboy, like, then all of a sudden, it's if they really want you, they're gonna spend that.
Right.
How did you determine your own rates? Did you figure out, like, was there like a calculation, like how much do you want to work and what do you want your salary to be? Or was it based on kind of standard rates or?
First thing I did was I went to the agent I had at the time. He basically told me what are good starting rates for like a new model. So I started with those. I think I started with like 50 for fashion, 75 for boudoir, and 100 for nude. And then like a year or so later, once I'd gotten a lot more experience, added a lot more to my portfolio, and I was in like a lot higher demand, I like increased each of those by like $25. So it's like kind of a combination of like time, experience, and just also generally kind of been adhering to like a general range of like what's normal for those genres.
I've seen an incredible variety of models rates, anywhere from 50 to 350 an hour. Mm-hmm. Like, and 315 hours, like if you can get that, phenomenal. But
yeah, I saw a model
amateurs charging. Can't afford, amateur photographers cannot afford to pay $700 for a shoot.
I saw one model recently who was like charging $1,000 an hour for a nude shoot or something. I'm like, is she getting any business with that? Like, I can't imagine anyone wanting to pay that.
Yeah, I can't, like, unless it comes with, I mean, what is she? Is she like a penthouse pet or something? Or is she like a super famous adult actress?
I don't think she was.
Interesting. Maybe she saw those scam emails. Yeah, it's maybe. Like, this is what I'm supposed to be charging. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Because I think, and this is definitely, we talked to the guy with camera before, and like, what percentage of your income do you think comes from guys with camera and like really, really amateur photographers versus serious photographers, whether they're professional or just serious?
Mm-hmm. It's a hard one. I mean, I definitely work with much more like professional people rather than guys with cameras. Maybe like 10 to 20% are guys with cameras. But like, I make sure that they're respectful. Like, even before when we talk, I make sure they don't call me babe or anything. They're like respectful toward me. They have ideas. They're just like, you know, they conduct themselves in a professional manner, even though they themselves aren't professionals.
Gotcha. Has that changed over time? When you first started, was it a higher percentage of guys with camera, or was it a higher percentage of professionals because you're trying to build up your portfolio?
I'm not really sure, actually. I might have worked with a few more guys with cameras because I might have been a little more naive wanting to like shoot with anyone who paid at that point.
Yeah.
They're
going to pay me to look pretty? That's awesome. Yeah, right?
But I mean, for the most part, I've worked mostly with professional people.
Gotcha. All right. What do you think is the most successful way you found to monetize your work? Do you think the direct payment by photographers locally, the touring, or using sites like OnlyFans?
I'd say a combination between direct payment locally and touring. Although that depends on like how far you consider touring to be. So like, I'd consider DMV to be where I'm based, but that encompasses all of DC, Virginia, and Maryland.
Yeah.
So I'm still traveling, but I still consider that local. So yeah. I do a lot of business in those like three areas. But a lot does come from touring. If I didn't travel, like I would not be able to have this as a full-time job. So yeah, like a good portion of my income every month comes from my Jersey trips, and like another big portion when I do my Ohio trips.
It's really interesting. And you've got a bunch of regulars there.
And it's usually like people will jump at the chance to work with me when I'm there because I'm not there all the time. So it's like a higher traffic. I can count on more shoots in one short period of time than I can just locally.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's really interesting to me. Because again, like as a basically an amateur, like guy with camera plus, like I can only afford to shoot like once a month. Like I dream of the day when I can afford to shoot like four times a month. And like... Mm-hmm. Quit my stupid day job and just be able to just like own a studio or something. Like, that'd be amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, and I just hear like people that can hire the same, like if you're hiring the same model every month, that implies to me like you're also hiring other models. Like you're not just shooting the same person over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. Be still. One of these days. I think we are just about out of time. So I have two last questions for you. Somebody asked me somebody mentioned on Twitter that there's not enough discussion about mental health and being a model. So I want to try and throw this in every time I have a chance. How do you maintain your mental health as a model? Mm-hmm. You get dick pics, I'm sure there's some lovely interactions with some creepy dudes on OnlyFans and other places. Like, how do you make sure, and just, you know, photographers being judgy and any thoughts on how to stay?
Well, with like the dick pic things, I've kind of learned to just brush that off and like laugh about it. Like, oh, this idiot. Okay, bye. So like that doesn't concern me too much. I guess what gets to me a lot is like the travel and just staying like so busy all the time and driving for like 6 hours at a time. I just always have to make sure that there's one part of my day where I take some time for myself to do what I like, whether it's like going to the gym or just relaxing at home or just like talking to my friends. I have to have a part of my day that's like just dedicated to that. Like that definitely helps maintain my mental health, I think. I met a lot of my friends through modeling, met my boyfriend kind of through modeling. So they're all like huge support systems. They always help me out when I'm feeling down. As for like photographers being judgy, so like I did have an eating disorder when I was younger, actually before I got into modeling. And that was just a big eye opener to where like I'm still kind of self-conscious at times, but I've learned not to make, you know, that kind of thing the center of my life. Like if someone once was like, oh, like cover your stomach because you have a little pooch there. At this point, I've learned to like kind of brush it off. Like it annoys me, but I'm like, well, I'm still in demand. Obviously, like people do like my look. I don't have to let this like ruin my entire day. So it's just like kind of part of the industry, I guess, that you have to accept and just, you know, kind of try and keep a positive mindset and, you know, have your friends help you through it.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I like to finish off with the same question for just about everybody. What is your favorite photograph in your portfolio? And by portfolio, we can use your model man portfolio. We can use your Instagram, whatever.
So like I have over 400 photos, I think, posted on my public portfolio. So I'm not really sure if I can pick one, but like, I guess some of my favorites are, I posted a few really cool underwater ones. And I really like those just because that shoot was so incredibly challenging for me. It was hard, like, you know, learning to, I guess, control my breathing in a way to where I could like sink down and just keep my eyes open underwater. So I like that one just because it was one of the most difficult shoots I've done and the product like turned out really well. Another one that I really liked was I shot with some wolves. We did like a whole kind of fairy tale scene where I had like a red, sparkly, very regal looking dress. We had a very fancy couch just kind of like in the middle of the woods. And there was this big wolf right next to me. I really like that one just because it's different. Not many people have that kind of thing in their portfolio. So that's definitely one of my favorites. And I guess some of the other ones are just the really cool body paint ones. So I work with this great body painter, Jonathan Kinney in Columbus. He makes these amazing, intricate body paint designs. And I don't see those often in other people's portfolios either. So I think that that's something like new and different that really adds to mine. So I guess some of all of those.
I didn't see the body paint ones. I did see some tape ones that were kind of cool. So I saw there's like one with where you're splashing water. Like it was angel wings or butterfly wings almost. Like it was almost like a time lapse. It's pretty recent. You posted the other day.
Yeah. That was really cool. I like those cool like photoshopped ones, like the ones that involve super special effects. So that one I had, like I made a splash and then he turned those droplets into wings through Photoshop.
I think my favorite that you posted though.
Oh yeah.
Is that one. I noticed that one's at Studio 206.
Yeah, that was a really fun shoot. I actually went there primarily as the photographer to shoot the other model. And then I was having this other photographer help me kind of learn how to shoot that style. And in return, like I did a free shoot for him too. So I joined with her.
I mean, it's obviously you're putting, was it like a gobo with the light? So just for people that are listening, if you wanted to go, it was posted June 25th on her Instagram. And it's her and another model, Michaela Fox. And It's like dappled light and shadow against a white background. Obviously it's some kind of gobo, but it's probably not a grid because the lights are too separated. Yeah, was so it like a sheet of paper or something with holes punched in it?
No, so it's a projection, actually. So we just had a plain, I think it was either like white or gray background maybe, and he had two projectors on either side of us, like projecting a patterned image onto us and onto the background.
Interesting. Yeah, no, that makes sense because you can definitely see, and the only shadows are where you're both blocking the light on each side, like under under your arm, and then we're between your head and your arm.
Yeah, and it was difficult doing that genre with another model because I've shot projections a lot by myself, but it's like so particular because like every little tiny inch you move drastically changes how the projection looks on you.
Interesting.
So to coordinate it with someone else it's challenging, but it's really fun.
Yeah, I can imagine. All right, I may have to get a projector. All right, so we are just about done. Anastasia, where can everyone find you online?
So you can find me on Instagram. Username is Anastasia_May, M-A-Y-E, _model. You can find me on OnlyFans. That's just Anastasia May, one word. And on Twitter, Anastasia_May.
Somebody take Anastasia May on Instagram already?
I'm not really sure.
I found
I forget how I chose that particular one.
I registered my Instagram name first and I went to go register on Twitter, and Twitter was like, this is too long. And I was like, can't. All right. Do you have any ongoing projects you'd like to mention?
I mean, nothing in particular, really. I'm trying to do some fun Halloween shoots this month. I don't really know if that counts as an ongoing project.
That's fair. Are you planning on doing any touring?
I mean, I'll be going to Jersey, I'm sure, in November. But the main travel dates I have planned are Pittsburgh and Ohio, the 11th through 13th. And then Jersey, October 22nd through 23rd. Hmm. Yeah.
All right. And with that, we are done. Check us out at the NSFWPhotographyPodcast.com, on Twitter as at NSFWPhotography, Instagram at the NSFWPhotographyPodcast, and subscribe on your favorite podcast app. To finish us off today, I have a quote from Twyla Tharp that really spoke to me in these COVID times, spending so much time at home. Art is the only way to run away without leaving home. Everyone stay safe out there.